This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by some wonderful Bi-plus folks working in suicide prevention in our community, and we'll hear about a podcast that tells the stories of queer people who've been touched by suicide. We'll also hear about an upcoming community events and how mental health issues are being portrayed through the arts. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we are here to bring you your weekly fix of Bi-plus community goodness. Thanks again to Bad Gays for another great show. So later on tonight, we'll be joined by Anna from Switchboard Victoria, an LGBTIQ plus peer support organisation. Anna will be chatting with us about her work at Switchboard in suicide prevention and the new podcast that Switchboard has produced reflecting the experiences of our LGBTIQA plus community with suicide. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask about this, please get in touch from us. Get in touch with us this evening. You can get in touch anytime tonight. Email onair@joy.org.au or text 0427 569 949. You can also find us on our socials, Facebook, Triple Bypass, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us anytime during the week at triplebypass@joy.org.au. And now it's time for some Bi-plus community news.
Dun, 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 dun.
We need our own little jingle, don't we?
I'll find one, just like a lot of synth. A new lesbian, gay and bisexual alliance group that claims to have split from Stonewall, a major LGBTIQ org in the UK, is facing criticism from the LGBTIQA plus community for what most of us are seeing as a trans and non-binary exclusatory movement.
Rude.
The LGB Alliance group launched on Tuesday evening last week with gender critical feminist, another term for the so-called trans exclusionary radical feminist wording, saying gender, calling about gender radicals. Members of the community have taken to social media to completely blast the group under the hashtag LGBTQ family. Broadcaster Sarah O'Connell called LGB Alliance an attempt to divide the larger community. And a user by the name of Casey Explosion took to Twitter to reveal that the group has links with the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank based in Washington, D.C. LGBTIQ rights activist Alok Vade Menon took to Instagram to condemn the group. A new trans and non-binary exclusionary alliance organisation between cis, lesbian, gay and bisexual people was just announced in the UK as a reaction to the, quote, rise in gender extremism, they wrote. Let's be clear, the real extreme gender ideology is the colonial gender binary forcibly imposed on Indigenous peoples across the world, erasing thousands of alternative gender sex systems responsible for countless murders of trans plus gender variant people and spreading the perverse myth that we are new.
Oh, boom. What a quote.
I thought so.
That's spectacular.
Feminism without respecting trans women and non-binary people is just patriarchy, they continued. Reducing women to their genitalia and reproductive capacity is just misogyny. Fortifying gender and sex binaries is not progressive. It is racist and conservative.
Oh. That's a lot of feelings in the studio.
Me too. And like, so they posted that on Instagram. And I mentioned this as well because there's been a few Australian LGBTI orgs that have been received emails. Someone tweeted about this, of someone insisting they dropped the T in the I because it was discriminatory, because it was supposed to be about sexuality, not gender. So I guess what I'm saying is that this has emboldened a lot of people. Mm. And to make it really, 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 really clear, this little non-binary bisexual is right here to tell you that Triple Bypass, we very much are standing with the trans community, and oppression, discrimination based on gender, identity, sexuality, intersex status all stem from the same heteronormative standards, restrictive and harmful gender roles, and general patriarchy bullshit.
Ow! Exactly that.
Bisexual,
on a t-shirt.
We have a history of working with transgender communities. We've always been close, and that is not changing now. B with a T in the I. We're the bits, and we're sticking together.
Ew.
But now, sometimes, tonight is a topic of the taboo and talking about it. So speaking of the taboo, we have here someone who you might recognise who is here to make a way for us to have a laugh about a bad day, even if it's a bad mental health day. This is the write-up, so it's about a play coming up. Sometimes the only way to deal with a bad day is to laugh at it. or go to the theatre so you can laugh along with someone else's bad day. That's the idea behind That Time Everything Went Well and We Were Totally Fine, a new show by comedy duo Jennifer Piper and Belinda Campbell. That's the latest offering from the award-winning theatre company Witch Incorporated, and it's been billed as a comedy for anyone who's ever had one of those days. And apparently it all started with co-star Jennifer Piper laughing about some of the bizarre things that she's been doing when she's overwhelmed, which I can attest to, having seen Jennifer overwhelmed a few times in this very studio, because you might recognise this voice. In fact, you might recognise it from the show that was on here for a while, The Representation Hour. That's right, Jennifer's back.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Now, I feel like I should be saying, I am Pipes, allow me to tell you the way things are. But I don't do that anymore.
No, you don't.
I will tell you the way things are, though. You know.
But you see, you're still doing representation, just like rather than getting slowly more and more worked up about how terrible sometimes it is. You've gone off and made one, which I love this part because I think there was a part in this media release when they were saying, Piper and Campbell bring to life the gremlins inside all of us in a series of hilarious sketches woven around a central story of two friends trying to have a night out. And this was based on an anonymous survey, but as someone who can attest to having several gremlins living inside of me. In fact, I am, at most points, three gremlins in a trench coat. that really spoke to me. As to the whole thing, being like, no, this is a great night. Everything is totally fine and we're all great.
Look how big my smile is. Look how tightly I am grinning.
Yeah, no, these eyes aren't screaming.
The survey was amazing, though. We put that out a year and a half, and almost 2 years ago we started it. And I, of course, went forth into all of the bi-plus and trans and non-binary groups that I'm part of in the social media. And unsurprisingly, our people had things to say.
Anxiety is bi-culture.
It really, really is. And, oh, my word, we got some beautiful stuff back. Heartbreaking, hilarious, beautiful stuff. And it was a really exciting process to figure out how we could draw all of these different experiences together to create a story that would speak to, hopefully, anyone. Because even if we don't live with a diagnosed or a chronic undiagnosed, even if we don't live with a mental illness, capital M, capital I, we all have crappy times. We all get stressed and strung out. We all experience deep sorrow and moments of depression, and we know what it is to panic or to worry or to feel loss.
Or to eat food off a Frisbee because you can't be bothered doing your dishes.
Or eat food out of the bin because you hate yourself too much to go to the fridge. Yeah. You know, just hashtag buy things. Hashtag just buy... I don't know, mate. I don't know. It's tech week. Please go ahead.
And so, now, I suppose, is it a spoiler to... When we talk about what one of those days is it a spoiler to ask, what is one of those days?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the question, isn't it? Because one of those days can be anything. It can be a perfectly ordinary day where everything does go well, but your gremlins are feeling particularly feisty, so it still feels like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that day when just every little tiny thing happens, or it could be the day you have your heart broken or you lose your job.
Or you remember that you had your heart broken.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder if one of those days is sometimes about our reaction to what's going on as opposed to what's actually happening.
Absolutely.
And what spoons we've got.
I saw a meme that was like, did you have a bad day or did you let a bad thought take over your brain and ruin everything else that had already happened that day?
Oh, wow.
That's been one of the super fun things as well is personifying anxiety, giving anxiety a corporeal form, because if you do, you can then punch it.
Yeah, right.
You can tell it to go away. It doesn't always work, but,
it gives you some. It gives you some ability to face it in ways that we often can't.
Yeah.
So as someone who's clearly had a word or two to say about bi-plus representation, and by the way, you can find the Representation Hour in all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
On iTunes, Spotify, wherever good podcasts are found. But, what can we expect to see with the show? Why am I going to come on the radio and be like, representation, you know, I thought I'd see more. There was only three out of three characters were bisexual. They only said it twice each per minute.
Well, I mean, as we all know, certainly as anybody who has listened to me rant on the radio or at a pub knows, if I play a character, unless I stand on stage and say, I am straight or I am gay or I am ace, I'm bi.
Mm.
Just like I am this tall, I am blonde-ish, I'm pasty as all get out, I'm bi. That's it.
Yeah.
But I would defy anyone who has been to see me act in a show in the last, let's say since 2014, we'll be conservative. And tell me,
not on my show,
tell
honey.
Tell me a character that I played that was not measurably queer.
I really enjoyed
far.
Your bisexual Sherlock. I really did. Now, when
mate, if I can make Gertrude Queen of Denmark bisexual, I think. But yes,
anxiety bisexual. It's not a big jump.
I will never ever write a character for myself who is not clearly mm-hmm. queerly.
So where can people go to find out more about the show and grab tickets, and when's it on?
Yes, so we preview on Friday. We open on Sunday. There's a post-show reception. Saturday, sorry. There's a post-show reception on Saturday. That's super
Friday
fun.
Friday the 1st of November.
Friday the 1st for preview. Mm-hmm. That was a big pop. Saturday the 2nd for opening. Mm-hmm. We run through to the 16th. Mm-hmm. All of the details are at witinc.com.au. That's witinc.com.au. People can find us on Facebook at We Are Wit, Instagram at InstaWits. The show is at Bluestone Church Art Space in Hyde Street. And I think it is really important that we see queer characters on stage. I got to write in a joke about the difference between bi and pan. Yes, that
is
we
it
talk
that
about.
More sauce.
So much more sauce.
So always go with.
That we talk about mental health, yeah. Talk about platonic friendships, yeah. That we see platonic friendships between women and femme-presenting and non-binary folks.
I think you're absolutely right. And we'll be doing a bit of talking about mental
life,
health.
Eh?
Yeah.
And Jennifer, just one more time, what's the name of that show?
That time everything went well and we were totally fine.
Spectacular.
That's I can see it in your eyes.
That's been our weekly dose of Bi-Plus community news. It's been wonderful to hear from you, Jennifer. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and we've been hearing from Jennifer about their upcoming show, That Time Everything Went Well and We Were Totally Fine, which sounds amazing. Coming up after this, we'll be chatting with Anna from Switchboard on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And now here's Girls, Girls, Boys by Panic at the Disco.
Change your mind, you know where I am. Now if you change your mind, you know. And you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That was Girls, Girls, Boys by Panic at the Disco, and you're tuned in to Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we are joined by Anna from Switchboard Victoria this evening. As queer folks, all of us at some point in our lives will have been touched by suicide. Suicide can be a deeply personal experience for each member of our community, but also unites us through loss, grief, and shared experience. It's my deep privilege this evening to introduce my friend and colleague, Anna Benesocchi. Anna is the Suicide Prevention Manager at Switchboard Victoria. She's a former phone counselling volunteer, a passionate bisexual, pet lover, and origami fan. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, origami fan, do you watch, like, origami contests, or are you a fan of people who can do it, or do you make it and then are a fan of your creations?
I don't know if origami contests are a thing, but we should make them a thing.
Untapped market right here.
Anna's desk is constantly covered in tiny, tiny origamis.
This makes me so happy.
It's a beautiful thing.
If you've got any questions for our guest, origami related or not,
I'll take them.
You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or text on 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949.
Now, suicide is not something that we as a community typically talk about, even though it is a topic close to a lot of our hearts and that a lot of us will have had experience in either ourselves or our loved ones. So it's so amazing to have you on this evening, Anna. Thank you for making the time. I wonder if you might be able to tell us a bit more about your role at Switchboard.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the Suicide Prevention Manager at Switchboard. And what my role is, it's quite broad. I cover most aspects of suicide prevention. So when we think of suicide prevention, we think about prevention as awareness, mm-hmm. what it is to have a community that's aware to the possibility of suicide, mm-hmm. and what we can do at a systemic level to tackle suicide. And then we think of that as that's prevention, and then we move on to suicide intervention. Mm-hmm. So these are the skills that the community needs to have in which to act and respond to someone who's experiencing suicidal thoughts or in suicidal crisis and moving towards suicide intent.
So having those kind of suicide conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's like if you think of Switchboard as the helpline service, that's what a lot of our volunteers do, is that they give suicide interventions with people who call the helpline
right.
and say that they themselves are thinking about suicide.
Right.
And speaking of, if anyone out there is feeling distressed or thinks this might be a bit of a conversation that could lead to some distress, you can call Switchboard. And that number would be, Anna... Don't worry, I'm pulling it up for you.
1-800-184-527.
Fantastic.
You've got it.
I've got it in my brain.
Yeah.
Also, please feel free to reach out to Lifeline and additionally Suicide Callback Service or Suicide Line in Victoria. Those are 24/7 services and have been LGBTIQA+ cultural sensitivity trained and are not just for if you're having thoughts of suicide, but also if loved ones are in that experiencing suicidal intensity. If you have questions about suicide interventions, they're not just for folks who at that point are having suicidal intensity. So feel free to reach out to any of those services this evening.
And Lifeline is 13 11 14.
That's right.
I think that's a really good point that you raised, Amelia, in that it's not just about the person who's in the midst of experiencing suicidal thoughts. It's actually around the people who are helping that person, mm-hmm. or on the other end, which is quite devastating for people to talk about, but bereavement through suicide as well, that these services are there for you to be able to talk to someone who understands the experience that yeah. you're going through and who is trained to be able to have this conversation safely.
Yeah, and when we're talking about suicide lived experience, my understanding of that is that it can be, you can have a suicide lived experience if you yourself have experienced suicidal intensity, but also if you have helped, supported or lost someone to suicide, that's also considered a suicide lived experience in the broader suicide sector.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's something that we know about loss through suicide, and that is that people who are exposed to suicide, they themselves become at increased risk to experience thoughts of suicide. Mm-hmm. And this is perhaps what I would say erroneously termed contagion. Mm-hmm. But this is really...
That was a complex sounding thing. Erroneous contagion.
So It's called contagion, but I would contest this word for it.
It's quite pathologizing.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. So contagion, but just to be clear, so you're talking about the fact that it's like almost you can be following the idea of contagion, you pick it up from other people.
Yes.
So it's like something that can be passed on.
Yes.
Like a virus, which I can see now why that's not necessarily the best word for it.
Yeah, and this is the word that's used right across the sector for decades. And I think as a queer community, we know quite well how these stigmatizing words can affect us and have an enduring effect.
Yes.
So I think I like to break that down and say that it's about how suicidality passes from person to person and what that identification and relationship is.
So can I ask, firstly, is this a new role in Switchboard? And also, what led you to applying for the position?
Yeah, great question. So I started at Switchboard in the last week of February this year. So I've been on the job for maybe 8 months. The role at Switchboard came about because last year in April, the volunteer coordinator, Ingrid Zhang, died by suicide. And of course, Switchboard was and still is very devastated by this loss. I myself knew Ingrid, and I do always get a bit choked up and emotional when I talk about this. But what happened following Ingrid's death was that our ever-passionate CEO, Joe Ball, approached one of the funding bodies and said, Switchboard needs your help. We don't know what to do. There are no resources out there to help organisations when we experience loss through suicide that are relevant to LGBTIQ plus communities. We need more support. So through that, my role came about. And the major project of my role is to speak with the people in the Switchboard community who've experienced the loss of Ingrid Zhang and to collect qualitative data, so that's to do interviews, that will help us develop something called a postvention response plan, which are sort of the strategies that get put into place when a suicide occurs. And these are the strategies around making sure that there's counselling support available, how to speak with the family, how to arrange funerals, who needs to be contacted, when they need to be contacted, and how to contain this loss, and really how to help facilitate bereavement. What postvention means is it's synonymous with bereavement, but postvention is quite a technical term for that. So I'm doing a research project, which is about to start really soon. We're going through ethics approval at the moment. Aside from the research project, Switchboard runs suicide intervention skills training. So this is teaching people how to respond to someone who's in suicidal crisis, which we do not only with our volunteers but externally as well, using the ASSIST model. I also recently went to Canberra to lobby to the federal government about naming LGBTIQ plus people as a priority population in policy and strategy.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent. Because in Australia, our Prime Minister has claimed he wants to end suicide
by
2030.
The 2030
just
suicide target.
Small goal. And in doing so, there's been a lot of pushing because so far there hasn't been a whole lot of inclusion or recognition of the need for consultation with the LGBTIQA plus community, which is the, I think, second most at-risk population in the country after Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. And not only that, in terms of there's been failing to engage with LGBTIQA plus groups around this topic, but our Prime Minister is also opening the Suicide Prevention Australia annual conference this year and failed to mention queer folks as a priority population in that setting, even though this was the national conference, the largest and most well attended by service delivery and research folks. The representation of queer suicide prevention and suicide needs in that conference was absolutely marginal.
Yeah, he's not our favourite. He's not our favourite, basically. But enough about him. He's not taking up any more space than we want him to. So, Anna.
So you went to lobby in Canberra to get LGBTIQA plus folks on the cards.
Yes,
in suicide prevention.
I think this is quite a concerning thing that's happening at the moment. The National Mental Health Commission recently released their 2019 report. So this is a report that sort of reflects on the strategy that's in place to help us nationally around suicide prevention and mental health. And in this 97-page document, LGBTIQ plus people were not mentioned at all.
That's disgusting. Thank you for your work in going up and rattling everyone up in Canberra. We're currently listening to Anna from Switchboard Victoria.
You make many jokes about mental illness. How could they not realise?
Oh, my God. You're on Triple Bypass, and we'll be back with our guest in a moment following this song, I'm a Fantastic Wreck by Montaigne.
Taste his eye, want to free the beast from his cage. Mad like my aging soul, I want to make it out. I want to make it out worth something, worth the guillotine of my head. I'm a fantastic wreck, wrecking. Estrange me or change me, and if I can write your name, can I be angry and nasty? And if nothing else can change me, and I'm just this way, then would you love me? I want to taste skin, I want to lace wings from all the fields in my name, walking heavy. Change me, and if I can write your name, can I be angry and nasty? And if nothing else can change me, and I'm just this way, then would you love?
Was I'm a Fantastic Wreck by Montaigne, and you're back on Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. We include a P for pansexual, Q for queer and questioning, and an E for everybody else. We're not gatekeeping queers on this show.
Hail to the Nah.
I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we're joined in the studio this evening by Anna from Switchboard. We've just been talking about her work at Switchboard in the suicide prevention manager role, what that entails in a day-to-day, and some of the recent policy rabbling that she's been doing in Canberra with their CEO Joe. If you have any questions for Anna this evening, you can email onair@joy.org.au or text 0427 569 949. Anna, so Joy has collaborated with Switchboard to make this podcast, which is called Let's Talk About Suicide. Could you tell us a little bit more about how that came to be, what the podcast is about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I first heard about the podcast on my very first day at Switchboard.
Of course.
Ooh.
So I rocked up on my first day.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my backstory behind it. And Joe said, do you want to come and listen to us talk about a podcast that we're making. And so a couple of hours in, we got in an Uber and headed over to the Jesuit Social Services. Mm-hmm. And so the Jesuit Social Services run a program called Support After Suicide, who's mm-hmm. involved in making this podcast. Louise Flynn is the manager there, who is one of the voices on the podcast. And so Joe, Louise, and a wonderful person named Hamish. Big shout out to Hamish, who has absolutely like spearheaded the production of this podcast and done so much work. Sat around and talking about their idea for creating this podcast in which people who had been bereaved, LGBTIQ plus people who've been bereaved through suicide, so losing someone very close to them, a loved one, a partner, to give them an opportunity to be interviewed and to share their experiences and record this and put it into a podcast with Joe, Louise and Hamish, providing some conversation around that and using their own lived experience and expertise in providing support to people through bereavement to hopefully create something for people to listen to and provide solace and connection and something for LGBTIQ plus people to listen to who are bereaved and to share in an experience that other people have had as well.
To other queer folk connecting and hearing from other people who have been where they are.
Yeah, so we know that there is a lot of information and stories out there around bereavement through suicide, but seldom do we hear from LGBTIQ plus people. And we know from our community that people who are seeking support after losing someone to suicide say that they wish there had been something like this that they could have listened to so they didn't feel so alone or to hear their experiences reflected for that validity. And because we know that grief in LGBTI communities is deeply complex, that not only are we battling with that loss that we experience, but also what that means to be LGBTIQ+.
That's right.
And when definition by suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what that means to be LGBTI as well, and to lose a fellow LGBTIQ+ person.
And I imagine that can be even more complex for folks who have multiple and intersecting identities relating to other minority groups, especially within cultures where there's a more collectivist culture.
Yeah.
That death by suicide can be a lot more complex for some of those communities.
Absolutely. And I think that as an LGBTIQ plus community, that something that we're still finding our voices in talking around is how we are a collective community. What happens once you say to yourself that I am bisexual, I am lesbian, I am gay, I am trans, and who do we then identify with? When I hear about the loss of another LGBTIQ plus person, my head starts asking all these questions.
Yeah.
What was their childhood like? Who are their parents? Who are their friends? Who are their chosen family? And I can't help that. That's an automatic response. And that's because of my experiences of being a bisexual woman, that I know that this person has had some kind of journey that I can relate to.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's important to look at this. You know, our show has a bit of a theme about which letter we tend to specify on. And in Australian research, we know that the bi plus community, a lot of us, and like have had a direct brush with, or at least tried. I think the study was like 1 in 3 bi plus people from the cis bi plus community, that's not counting when you look into gender and non-binary folks, has attempted. So I think it's something that we can often feel quite ashamed about, that it was like, it's called like the moment of weakness or something that, you know, was when you, and not being able to then move forward with that or be able to air it out and be able to communicate with that stuff. Now, we'd actually get a message in from somebody, from Sarah. Thanks, Sarah. They work for a mental health body that funds mental health services, and in their strategic plan, there was a distinct absence of LGBTIQ plus as a priority population. So they are advocating for our inclusion in these plans. Keep up the great work, Switchboard. Keep it up for you too, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah, go Sarah.
We need folks like Sarah in mainstream orgs, and especially within funding bodies, to be advocates for all these minority groups, especially LGBTIQA plus folks in suicide.
To draw attention to this, like they're called blind spots for reasons.
That's not right.
Yeah, they're just, it's like, did you miss this whole thing that was happening? Oh, we didn't. We should look at this.
And so on this podcast journey, Anna, even though your first day was you were thrown into this project, I'm assuming both feet forward. What's the journey been like? What's happened, and what has gotten you to this point of launching the podcast tomorrow?
So, to be completely honest, my involvement with the podcast has been quite minimal. My involvement has really been around getting the launch up and going, mm-hmm. Which is happening tomorrow night at the Wheeler Centre at 6:30. There are still tickets available. They're $5 for general admission. And at the event, Sally Rugg will be launching the podcast, who has lived experience of suicide herself. I believe her father died mm-hmm. through suicide. And I know that behind the scenes, this podcast has taken more than a year to come together. Mm. It's been a slow and very careful process. And there's been so much consideration in going into this. I know originally the episodes of the podcast were going to be about an hour long. But on reflection, there's this question of how much can we listen to these stories for this length of time?
That's right. It's a long time to engage with a topic that heavy sometimes.
Yeah. So then the podcast evolved to shorter episodes, but more of them. And they also dip into themes around self-care and community care. And so they're not just the interviews of the people who have lost someone to suicide, but that really important dialogue that's missing in how we talk about suicide in LGBTIQ plus community spaces. So, yeah, huge, huge undertaking by Hamish, Louise and Joe. So kudos for them. And I hope tomorrow, although it's going to be a very moving and touching event, I hope there's a celebration for them as well and to feel proud of what they've created. I think this is really beautiful and so necessary what they've done.
So I think it sounds like from that there's an awareness in Switchboard and a growing awareness in the general LGBTIQA plus community that we need to start having conversations about this, but we haven't had before because there's always been that fear that it is dangerous to talk about.
That's right.
And so I want to ask when we come back after the next song about how we can have these conversations in a way that's safe.
And if you have any questions or thoughts about that, have any reflections or experiences you'd like to share about suicide conversations or talking about these topics, feel free to email us on air at joy.org.au or text in 0427 569 949. We're going to go to a song and return in just a minute. Anna, you did want to mention quickly a Remembering Rainbow, which will be something that you'll be launching tomorrow night as well at the podcast launch event. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Just quickly.
So this is something that I feel quite excited by, for maybe want of a better word. We have put together this rainbow lattice structure, and it's called the Remembering Rainbow. And what it is, it's a collaborative installation for people to come and tie a ribbon and write someone's name on it or a word of hope. And it's called the Remembering Rainbow because these ribbons are people's lives mm-hmm. who have been lost to suicide, and they're people who we want to remember.
What a stunning tribute. That's gorgeous. I can see why your face lit up when you were telling us about this in the studio earlier. This is Triple Bypass. We've been talking with Anna about developing this Let's Talk About Suicide podcast. We'll be back after some community messages and Strong by London Grammar on Joy 94.9.
I'm wide-eyed and I'm so down, caught in the middle. I've excused you for a while I'm wide-eyed and I'm so down, caught in the middle. And
and I with a stair caught right in the middle.
Listening to Triple Bypass, home of Joy's bisexual agenda.
Yeah!
That was Strong by London Grammar. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we've been joined this evening by Anna from Switchboard. We've just been chatting about her work at Switchboard Victoria and as a suicide prevention manager, a podcast called Let's Talk About Suicide that has been co-produced by Switchboard, Joy and Josuet Support Services. Is that correct?
Yeah, Support After Suicide.
Support After Suicide.
And it's launching tomorrow on the 30th.
You got it.
At the Wheeler Centre in Melbourne.
Tickets $5.
You can get them on the door. Come along, 6:30 p.m.
And we've heard about the gorgeous Remembering Rainbow, which is a tribute to people we've lost to suicide along our journeys. Before the break, we touched quickly on the fact that suicide, talking about this with people who are experiencing suicidal intensity and also in the wider community just as a topic, is still largely seen as quite taboo.
Yeah, it's seen as a really dangerous thing to do. There's a lot of fear of if I say this, I might encourage somebody or I might be a tipping point to somebody. And I think, which means that we tend to not talk about it. So why do you think it's important to start talking about it? And more importantly, how can we do it safely? Because the reason there are so many regulations around how it can be portrayed in certain media, like just now that TV show 13 Reasons Why has taken out the scene of the suicide because they're like, oh, it turns out this may have had a severe effect, as psychologists had been suggesting since its beginning. So how do we have these conversations and why do we need to have them in the first place? But how do we do it in a way that isn't going to hurt anybody?
Yeah. So I think there are a couple of things going on here. So suicide is still considered a topic that is taboo. And I think part of that is that no matter what, when you're talking about suicide, you get this little kernel of fear in your stomach.
Yeah.
And that's so very normal. If you didn't have that little kernel of fear, something would be wrong, right? As soon as we think about what suicide is, it does induce that response in us. And I think we have to pay attention to that response, but still have these conversations to find our voice and to sort of normalize that experience because it is something that is normal for us to do. But I think there is this taboo that comes around this fear that's become so ingrained in our society that when we talk about suicide that we could be putting people at danger. And there is some merit in that, but there's also a lot of hype around that too. So, for instance, like we've been having this conversation this evening,
mm-hmm.
And that there are lots of conversations going on around the place. We know that in the mainstream orgs we have Are You OK Day, Movember does campaigns around this, and that there has been a shift. So we are starting to have these conversations around suicide. And I think that when we do have these conversations around suicide, especially publicly, like what we've demonstrated tonight, is making sure that we give people who are listening or who are involved resources for themselves. So the QLife number, the switchboard phone number, Lifeline, giving them clear referral pathways if they themselves identify that they need to speak with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we go into public spaces where we're having these conversations, to make sure that we have support people there who can have those one-on-one interactions.
Would you have any...
Speaking of, Lifeline, 13, 11, 14, if you've just tuned in now. And Switchboard, which is the LGBTI support helpline in Victoria, just in case you weren't aware, is 1-800-184-527, available from 3 until midnight. They also have a web chat if you're nonverbal or don't feel comfortable speaking.
That's right. Thanks, Ruby. Thanks for providing those. It's super important. I wonder, Anna, if you might have any... advice or recommendations for folks who might want to be engaging in safer suicide conversations with people within their lives?
Yeah, so it can be really tough having those conversations with the people around you because you care about the people around you.
Totally.
And so you want to have those conversations with them to make sure that they're safe. And it's really important that you do have those conversations. So we know that you can ask people directly if they're thinking about suicide, and they're either going to give you no, and then that's okay. You know that there's something else going on. But if they respond yes, then what do you do?
Mm.
And I think the next step is to take a breath and go, yes, we're talking about suicide.
And to not panic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you panic, that's okay. But yeah. Still talk about suicide because you can. Something to say about that though is that it's not all about what you are doing, that we're doing this as a community, that there are people who can help you have those conversations in real time. If it's not a conversation you're comfortable having, you can call one of these services and someone can be on the phone with you. That's a really great option. There are also...
I was just going to say, that's an amazing suggestion. I never would have thought of that, and I work in this area.
Yeah, it's a really good one. You've got people on the phone who can talk you through it, or you can pass the phone over. That's amazing too. But also that if you are having these conversations with people, that make sure that you are finding ways to support yourself. That's totally. Equally as important. Yeah. You don't keep this secret. You tell someone else. And also, what we're trying to do is that we're trying to help people have these conversations better and to keep people safe while they're doing those. So there are programs out there like the ASSIST program that's run through Living Works, and Switchboard does training in it, and also in Safe Talk,
mm-hmm.
which is a shorter program but really helps us get more confident and comfortable talking with people around suicide. In my job, I've said the word suicide and written it so many times that it has become so normalised, and I can have these conversations, but I also know that not everyone can.
So there are formalised programs out there and also services that can support you to have these conversations with folks that are close to you. We've been joined this evening by Anna from Switchboard. We've been talking about all things suicide prevention, intervention and postvention. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you'll be able to find the podcast on, I mentioned, the same place you find our podcast.
That's right. All the good podcast
which
providers.
I'm sure you all know about, dear listeners, because you listen and you review us and you write nice things on iTunes, don't you? Don't you? Stop laughing. You're not good. I'm trying to be serious.
Yes.
Can't you tell?
We've almost wrapped up another episode of Triple Bypass, unfortunately, but we'll be back again next Tuesday to bring you more of the Bi-Plus agenda. As Ruby said, you can find every episode as a podcast at joy.org.au/triple bypass on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, a bit about Joy Nation. You may have heard on some of the other shows, if you listen to Joy, It's been around for 25 years. We started to start spreading information around the HIV crisis 25 years ago. We've been going since then, but times have changed, media sponsorship has changed, and Joy is actually starting to struggle financially. So that's difficult when I think about all the things that this show has brought me and hopefully things that it's brought you, gesturing people in the studio, and to all of you. You can't see me because it's an audio medium, but I'm gesturing to you. And I guess we're looking now to try and find ways that Joy can go on and have more financial independence and feel less like a year-to-year cruxing and kind of hitting these points that we do where things start to get a little panicky. Most of us here are volunteers, but, you know, there are costs involved in running a radio station. So if you would like to help with that, we're looking to build Joy Nation, which will be a multimedia platform. You can find out more about it at joy.org.au. You can also donate to our campaign to build it. We're trying to raise money. It's a we have like a crowd-raising site, which you can find out more there. And if you are able to give us financial support, it would be so greatly appreciated so we can keep doing this show. We've been going for over 3 years now.
We want to keep bringing you this Bi Plus quality content, friends.
So quality.
If you know a friend who'd enjoy listening to us, let them know we're a community. That's what community is all about. Sharing is super cute. We exist for you, listeners, so send us some love if you love what we do. You can also find us on our socials, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, Facebook, Triple Bypass, Twitter, Triple Bypass, or email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Soul Provider. Matt's back from holidays, still very tanned, and we'll be sharing songs that take him back to his roots. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Taking us out, this is Shine by local artist Asta.
Sometimes we fall, but we get up, 'cause we're never, ever, ever gonna stop. Gonna feel what's real, what's in our hearts, 'cause we are lovers from another place, and you can take our stars away. 'Cause we are lovers from another place, and you can take our stars away.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.